Support for this public radio podcast is provided by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org. And by Constellation Energy, a global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to environmentally sound, energy-efficient, and sustainable energy solutions. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
The dollar is shredded.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Sometimes when you get change, you get a bill that looks like it's been in the washer a few times and crinkled up in somebody's pants. That's the kind of shape the dollar is in right now. It hit close to an 8-year low against the Japanese yen this morning. It's taking a daily beating from the British pound and the euro. And the dollar's weakness is only driving up the price of oil even further. Today, oil is near another record, $108 a barrel. Jill Barchet has more on the oil market.
Oil's been steadily climbing for 8 years now, but the last 2 months have really been crazy. James Hamilton is an economist at the University of California, San Diego. He specializes in oil price shocks. He says speculators are borrowing money on the cheap and pouring it into oil futures.
I think the lowering of interest rates is the biggest single factor. It basically reduces the downside risk for commodity speculators.
Speculators may be hitting jackpot, but the price spike is no good for the economy. Hamilton says historically, oil price increases are often followed by recessions. He's already seeing bad omens. Both Detroit auto sales and consumer confidence are down.
If consumption falls, we're surely in a recession.
Hamilton says the oil price spike is a sobering lesson in monetary economics. The Fed is lowering rates to keep the economy out of a recession, but it's running up the price of oil, which could push the economy into one. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
Today, the Energy Department gives us its spring forecast for gas prices. They can probably just hand us a one-word answer. Expensive. This morning, gas is less than a penny away from an all-time high, above $3.22 a gallon. The previous record was set last May. Stock prices are going the other direction. The Dow has dropped 500 points in the past 3 days. Yesterday, the Dow fell 153 points to 11,740. The Nasdaq lost 43 to 2169. The S&P 500 fell 20 points to 1273. In Asia today, stocks bounced back with minor gains after 3 days of losses. European shares are up a fraction. There's a media expo today in Los Angeles that looks at how to market products and ideas to different cultures. One of the big topics will be how to encourage people to go green. Stacey Vanek-Smith has more.
From TV shows to billboards to internet ads, it's hard to miss environmental marketing efforts these days. But that doesn't mean the message is always getting across. Nora Vargas is executive director of the Latino Issues Forum. She says campaigns to conserve need to tailor their message to their audience.
It's a very different way of environmental consciousness that I think our community has.
The forum recently partnered with utility PG&E to launch a green campaign for the Latino community in San Francisco. Vargas says they've had success emphasizing things like how conservation can benefit household budgets and create new jobs.
I think that's why this is an important concept when you're communicating with the Latino community and informing them about these issues, that it's done in such a way where people are able to connect to it culturally.
Vargas points out that many Latinos come from cultures where they are used to recycling and conserving water and gasoline. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, working to help reduce greenhouse gases with 10 billion transit trips per year at publictransportation.org. Middle East Reporting is supported by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com.
Last week, we found out how hard it is to start a business in Egypt. But in Israel, startups are booming, especially technology companies. I spoke with Manuel Trachtenberg, the head of Israel's National Economic Council, and I asked him why the tech sector has taken off.
We are talking about entrepreneurial talent combined with technological proficiency. The second is we have the second largest VC, venture capital industry in the world. And third, we have a long history of government policies that are very conducive to these sort of developments.
Okay, so obviously there are things that are driving the Israeli economy in a good direction. But still, there are concerns. As head of the National Economic Council, what troubles you?
First and foremost these days is the slowdown in the U.S. Our growth has been based mostly, but not only, on the growth of exports. And therefore, if there is a slowdown in the world markets originating in the U.S., that for sure will affect our economy.
What about inside the country?
The main problem lies in the lack of employment for the very poor. And those are concentrated in two populations, the ultra-Orthodox and the minorities, the Arab population. So what we are trying to do is to create employment opportunities for those populations, to provide them with the tools to incorporate into the modern economy.
This issue of the ultra-Orthodox population, can you explain exactly how that affects the labor force?
Well, we are talking about 8% of the population. The ideal of that society is the learned man, the continues study and excels in the study of the Bible. And the end result is that they don't have the basic education needed to integrate themselves into the workforce.
Mr. Trachtenberg, in the bigger picture, some of your neighbors across the way in the Gulf are getting a lot of attention these days for their economic growth. How much pressure does Israel feel to keep up with the Dubais?
I think it's great that there are moderate Arab countries that see in economic development the main goal. The economy is always a good, a fertile ground for cooperation, so I wish there were more Dubais around us.
Manuel Trachtenberg, head of Israel's National Economic Council, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And I hope you can catch our PM shows broadcast from Dubai this week and all of our Middle East coverage at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.